Hello and welcome to Covenant Grove's audio devotionals. If you would like to follow along in your Bible with us while I read the scriptures that we are studying today, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 27. We will be starting in verse 1 and ending in this reading on verse 26. A fun fact. This book is also known as the Acts of the Apostles, because it covers 30 to 35 historical years of the disciples and the birth of the first generation church, starting right after Jesus' heavenly ascension. For reference, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, but you can follow along in the version of the Holy Text you prefer. Now, starting in verse 1, when the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a ship whose home port was Adramyttium on the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. The next day when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his need. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course, so we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. There the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. We had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us, so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island, past the Cape of Samone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens, near the town of Lacia. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. "Men," he said, "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on, shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength, called a northeaster, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" Once again, that was Acts chapter 27 verses 1 through 26 in the New Living Translation. Let's discuss and explore the text a little further. Having faith in God brings clarity to life. Paul was all about proclaiming Jesus, not about cargo or money. He didn't care if he spent a winter in a harbor with harsh weather. The sailors and soldiers wanted a better harbor and money from their cargo, so they unwisely pressed on into danger. This bad decision would lose the ship, cargo, and all profit, but God told Paul that the lives of all on board would be saved. Paul told the men about God's promises to give them hope. His faith had given him clarity. He trusted in the Lord. He knew that God had told him he would make it to Rome to testify about Jesus, so Paul knew that would happen. God said it, you believe it, you live it. Have you made life more complicated than that? The problem for us comes when we try to make anything other than Jesus our number one priority in life. It doesn't work. If money or happiness or comfort or work or promotion or relationships are before Jesus, eventually we will use Jesus to reach our goals. We will evaluate if Jesus, quote, works, end quote, based on his usefulness to reach our own goals. Here are some thoughts to ponder during your personal prayer time and for the rest of the day. Are you using Jesus to reach your own goals, or is Jesus the true goal of your life? How do you know? Thank you for listening to Covenant Grove's audio devotionals. May you all be blessed in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.